We have been speaking about the path, our path, the path of life. But we're going to leave behind the thoughts about sin is to blame. So that's part of it, but that's in the past now. So we want to turn our thoughts to some of the points that were given last Sunday. Number one, God has given you and me a multitude of precious promises that will enable us and support us and carry us and to an expected end. Thank the Lord. And a second one, it is the goodness of the Lord that he leads us. Well, we know the rest of the scripture, but he's so good, he leads us all along the way. It's not just to repentance, it's he leads us daily. Thank the Lord. Yeah. Also, is the master teacher. I didn't say those words last week, but I know that he is all wise and he is perfect and he leads me and you in a perfect way. Thank the Lord. And it is by his wisdom. I have three little words I want to insert here and call them key words. Study, strive, and press. And the Sunday school class this morning had some of the things that were on my heart, and it's always so encouraging when the Lord does things like that. But we have a part to play in all that God puts in our life, allows in our life. We have a part, and part of it is that you and I will need to study the Word. We will need to strive to enter in, and we will need to press toward the mark. So that's my job. God has his job, I have my job. So last Sunday we also said something like this, that we cannot control what happens in our life, but we can choose to be ready. And we spoke a little bit about the training room. And what was the training room? It's in your closet. Not a literal closet, but finding that place that you're alone with God. You and God. And God wants that relationship with you, and we need that relationship with him. So as we pass through, this was said last week, I think, through the events of this path of life, those events are called battles, trials, tests, storms, afflictions, etc. So as we pass through them, God has an intent. He has a purpose. And I wrote it down this way. Always, always, always is for our eternal good. I think saying it three times should make us stop and accept it, that God is working for my good. So the events on the path is not just for teaching and learning only. We've spoken, you've heard, spoken a little bit in Sunday school this morning, that he's the potter and we're the clay, and he has a design for my life on this path. Yes. So the title this morning for the message is The Winnowing of Our Path. And this word winnowing, I'm sure we all know it. It's a process of separating the chaff from the grain or the wheat. with the use of wind. And as I looked at this word winnowing and looked for some synonyms, I found two words that I want to have a spiritual application in the thoughts we have this morning. So these are two words that are synonyms for winnowing, is breath and blow. So we want to talk to you a little bit about the Lord blowing on our life and breathing on us. And now I really could not find any specific scripture that would produce that or establish that thought or make it evident. But I really believe that the principles of God's word demonstrates it. I know there's been times that I have been praying and praying specifically for someone, and I will use these terms, and it's not that I had a scripture, but I would say, oh, Lord, breathe upon them or blow upon the works of their hands or whatever. But and like I say, I don't have a scripture that I can say, this is what it says. But I believe that God does breathe upon us. I believe that he blows upon the works of our hands or our life, or he is he's breathing on the events of my life. I believe that he is intending for it to be for my good. I believe it is his favor on me. And the scripture calls it unmerited favor. It indicates that you and I are not worthy, and yet he is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our worship. As he deals with us in our life, as he works with us, at the same time, I believe that his breath and his blowing upon, say, the ungodly, does God breathe on the ungodly, or does he blow on their lives? I believe the same can be true. It's a positive thing for the godly, but it's not so positive for those, you might say it's not as positive for those that are ungodly, because God is trying to turn them back from their ungodliness, and so he's trying to frustrate their plans. For the godly, he's wanting it to all be for good. And that's a scripture that you're going to have to hold on to for the rest of your life. You're going to have to cause that to be your motto, that everything that God allows in my life is going to be for my good, whether it looks good or not, whether it feels good, whether I can see any good in the middle of it. I must believe that all things are going to work together for my good. And it's because I love the Lord. It's because I am called to his purpose, to manifest his purpose. We're called to be lights. It has to have a light in us for us to spend light or to be a light. So before we connect now with this thought, I want us to consider a verse over in Psalm 75 and verse 6. And we're going to talk a little bit about promotion. God wants to promote us. Did you know that? He wants us to be promoted all along the way. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, and nor from the south. That's the end of that little verse. So, what am I to understand in this little verse? It says that I am to know that with each direction that he's listed here, that it represents something. If promotion doesn't come from the east, what does that represent? Well, we think of the east as being the rising of the sun. It can represent youth, the beginning of our life. It can be like strength. We think of strength. We connect strength and youth, our young years. It can be like a new day. And this says, promotion does not come because I'm young. It doesn't happen because I'm physically stronger than I will be at the end of my life. But I will not be promoted in God's kingdom just because I'm young. And then it says, it doesn't come from the West. And so what does the West represent? Well, going down of the sun, the ending of a day. It's, I'm older. I'm coming down close to the end of my life. And just because I've lived all of my life and I've come down to the end doesn't mean I have earned a promotion in his kingdom. So it doesn't come just because I grow old. And then it says it doesn't come from the south. So we look at the south, and what do we see about the south? We see it as balmy, warm weather, easy going, laid back. Sometimes you think of those that live around the coast, they just sort of have a laid back experience in their life. You won't be promoted because things went real well for you. So what's missing in this scripture? The north. So what has to do with the north? It has to be the only place that promotion comes from. I have to read between the lines and say, so if promotion doesn't come from the east and it doesn't come from the west and it doesn't come from the south, then where does it come from? So there's only one direction to look at, and that's the north. And so what does the north represent? Cold, harsh, bitter, freezing temperatures sometimes. We can even look at winter, and some might call it ugly. No leaves on the tree, no sign of life. Now, I personally do not see ugliness. At one time, I did. At one time, I hated winter. I thought it was so drab and dreary, but I have learned to like it. I enjoy the beauty. I see a beauty out there in the wintertime. So we have to conclude then that the promotion that the scripture is talking about here is only going to come from hard places, from trials and tests. It's not going to be from a laid-back life, balmy, everything's going my way. It won't happen. If we want promotion in the kingdom of God, we're going to have to allow the promotion to come from the north. I have a scripture now to go with that. This is in Song of Solomon 4 and 16. And it says, "Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south wind." You know it takes them both. It says, "Blow upon my garden that the spices may flow out." Isn't that a scripture? I want to give it to you in another translation. It says, "O north wind, awaken. O south wind, blow and breathe on my garden to waft out the perfume." You know, God has a purpose in everything. He has a design. He has a plan. He wants it to be to His glory, but He wants it to be for our good. He doesn't want it to just stay in my garden. He wants my garden to produce something. So promotion would be, we could say it was the implementing of God's plan and purpose. God will always promote us when it's the right time. His time and my time and is not always the same, but He knows the best time to put something in my life that will promote a stronger spiritual resolve, a growth, a maturity, of going forward and going upward. And it can't be implemented if I'm resisting, if I'm pushing back His hand, and if I'm saying, "That's not for me. I don't want that in my life." I've got to submit myself. One of the things that I thought of during the Sunday school class is that the prophet is when I deny my flesh. And that's something I have to do. God is not going to force me to deny myself. Different places says to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, follow Him. The cross represents something. The cross represents death. It represents pain and suffering. I know this is not popular, and I know this is not pleasant, but it's all part of where God's taking us. And He wants us to glean something out of it. Don't you know what the gleaning process is? All of the major bulk of the harvest has already been gotten. And what's left behind, it was for those that were very poor. Ruth, in the book of Ruth, she was gleaning for a living, to live, for her and her mother-in-law. And I read one place that the amount of gleaning in comparison to the whole harvest, they measured it, and it would be a little bit more than a bushel for the harvest. That's how they measured it. But the gleaning was only 1/10 of that whole basket. A very small portion. And yet God is wanting us to be so hungry and thirsting after righteousness, as we had in the Sunday school class, so desiring of it, that I'm going to get my portion and it will keep me alive spiritually. I'm going to glean out of this trial, this test, this problem, this battle. I'm going to get all of the good out of it that I possibly can. So that's what the Lord is desiring. Now, back in that scripture about the promotion, the next verse, I want to give it to you. It says, verse 7, "But God is the judge. What is he judging? He's judging whether I have passed the test, whether I've endured, whether it's time for me to be promoted in his kingdom or promoted in spiritual growth, or he's the judge. It says he putteth down one and he setteth up another. And you know, we usually take that and we think, apply it to kings. It doesn't say anything about kings right here, or presidents or whatever. It's talking about you and me. If we've passed the test, then he'll set us up. Or if we haven't passed the test, he'll leave us in that place for a while. He'll still allow some things that from the north that will work in my life and bring me to a place of promotion. And verse 8 says, for in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and it's full of mixture. Every one of us today, God has a cup for you and for me. What's in my cup may not be in yours, and vice versa. But he knows what he wants you to drink. When Jesus was in the garden, he knew what was in the cup. We don't know what's in our cup. But he said, if possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thy will be done. If on the path that God has chosen for your life, if in the cup that he is offering to you to drink, if you will keep that attitude, Lord, help me to be submissive to your will, to your way, to your plan. Help me to be subject unto you. Help me to deny myself. That's all part of my work. He's willing to do his work, but I have a job to do too. And that's to be submissive and drink the cup. So God knows the season, and he's able to judge when we are ready to be promoted in his kingdom. Thank the Lord. Okay. One thought that I had was this, that every time God is preparing me for a spiritual promotion, what happens? I think in every case, he takes us through a valley. We have to have a valley experience. Sometimes the valleys can be good, and sometimes the valleys can be very hard. But I think that the valley experience must come first. I must pass through something in order for him to see that it's time for me to be promoted in his eyes. Thank the Lord. So over in Malachi, these are some things that are said from Malachi, and it says, he is like a refiner's fire. This is his job. This is what God is doing with each of us. Doesn't matter who we are. I don't think we're going to escape the refiner's fire. Why? Because the scripture says that my heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? It takes the refining of the fire for me to know what's in my heart, for me to see my humanity, for me to see my attitudes, for me to see my failure, for me to see what God's trying to show me. He has to take me to the refining fire. And then it says, and he is like fuller's soap. Oh, we're saved. I believe we're saved. But he's got us on the path of life, tempering us. He's shaping and molding and fashioning, and that was brought out in our Sunday school lesson. We can't get away from it. Oh, you can. You can turn it away, or you can be submissive to it. It says, he will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver and purge them as gold and silver. Well, we know all about that, surely. We've all felt the refining fire. We have felt the purging. And I want to insert here that this should be a part of our prayer for ourselves every day. I pray this way every day. Lord, search me and try me and see if there is a wicked way in me. Sister Cheryl testified just Wednesday night that the Lord showed her something that was in her life that she never had seen before. How did that happen? God brought her to that place. He opened her eyes. She was able to recognize this place. And when she submitted to it, do you know what happened? There was a promotion. God promoted her in her very soul. He gave her growth when she yielded herself to what he showed her. That's when spiritual growth is happening. Thank the Lord. So he says he is a purger of them, of gold, like silver and gold. And here's the reason: that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. God doesn't do all of this just to wound us and hurt us and crush us. He does it because he wants us to be able to offer unto him an offering of righteousness that he will receive. Thank the Lord. Then there's a scripture, and we're coming down to the close of our little thought this morning. Isaiah 28 and 28, and it says, bread corn is bruised. He will not ever be threshing. In other words, he's not going to keep threshing in your life forever. But he's got a time that he's trying to get out the chaff of your life, the dross of your life. He's developing you into a vessel that will not only be to his glory, but what's the purpose of bread corn? What's the purpose of bread? He's wanting you to be a blessing to someone else. You have to go through these things in order to understand these things for someone else. It's like when I went to visit Brother Earl. I'd been there. I had been there with a body brace on and couldn't move and depended on others and to feed me, and I've been there. And once you experience something that God has allowed in your life, when somebody else goes through it, you can say, I understand. And that helps them. For you to be able to understand what they're going through, it helps. It's like feeding them. Bread corn is bruised. And it says, he will not always be threshing, nor will he always break, nor will he always bruise it. Now this is the reference on that. Bread flour must be ground. You and I, in order for God to use us for others, we have to be ground into bread, that others may eat of us. Eat of our life. That those things that God allows in our life, that it will benefit my brother and my sister, or the person out there at the mall, or the person on my job, or we will be bread for others. Thank the Lord. It also says in the part that said he will not continue to break, he will not ever be crushing. There's going to be seasons of crushing and seasons of grinding and bruising. But he wants to turn it where you become a blessing. It's the whole purpose. It's not just a selfish thing for me and me alone. He wants to work a work in me that, like that garden, when the north wind and the south wind blew and upon it, what happened? The perfume went out. The fragrance went out. God is desiring each of our lives to be a fragrance for Him. Yeah. You know, it's been said, Jesus isn't here. We need to be His hands. We need to be His feet. We need to be His mouth. We need to serve one another. And the only way is for that north wind to come and blow up on my life hard things. And it produces a promotion that I can bless somebody else. Thank the Lord. So there's always a reason for the breathing and the blowing and the crushing and the bruising. But I want to read to you now verse 29, the next verse in Isaiah 28. This, speaking of bread corn is bruised, this also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts. You know what? You can't go out there and just decide, well, I'm going to be a missionary. Well, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to stand on the corner and I'm going to preach to the top of my lungs and I'm going to tell everybody this and I'm going to tell. It has to come from God. It has to enter into your heart by experience. It has to become reality. And that's when, and it's on the path of life then, and then all of a sudden God puts somebody in your life and that testimony comes out without any pre-thought. Doesn't the scripture say for us not to premeditate what we're going to say? I want to tell you that God used our daughter's death and Lorne's conversion more times than I can ever count. And it was always at an unprepared moment. And it was promoted of God. I remember we were on the train one time, and you have to share a table if you eat in the dining room. You can't just sit by yourself or only two. It has to be four people at least. It turned out that we were on the at our table with another couple that was about our age. And you don't sit there and just have no conversation. And you know the Lord just directed that conversation. We didn't plan it. And we told them the story and how Lorne got saved because of it, how our daughter said this before she died. And those two people, it affected them and they were in tears. That's God doing it. That's not me saying, oh, they need to hear this story. God wants to be the one. So this cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. Have you ever read that scripture? One thing I found just looking back over the experiences of our life, oh, there's been hurtful things. But the sweetest things have come as a result of tears and pain and sorrow and affliction and trouble and rejection. And you can keep on adding what happens to us in our path of life. It will work. I believe that God has appointed opposition as the only way to promote us in His kingdom. There's a song in our book. I'm going to give you some phrases of it. Light after darkness. Gain after loss. Strength after weakness. Crown after cross. Sweet after bitterness. You want to go through some bitter things? Or do you just really want only the sweet things? You have to endure the bitter to get the sweet. There's some other phrases in that song. It says, peace after pain, joy after sorrow, calm after blast, gleam after gloom, love after loneliness. And it says, after long agony, rapture of bliss. Right was the pathway leading to this. Whatever's in your path, don't push it away. Allow the Lord to work it. The final part of that chorus says, now comes the labor hard, then the reward. Awake, north wind, blow upon my garden that the spices may flow out. And remember, it's the excellent workings when our God is winnowing our path. He's blowing upon our path.